Jy luister na RSG Geldsaake met Money Web Potgoeie met gasheer Ryk van die Kerk.
Die grootste aftreefondse in Suid-Afrika vertrou hulle lede se aftreebeplanning toe aan Portfolium. Besoek hulle nou by portfolium.co.za. Standard Bank is een van die oudste banke op die vasteland. Dit is reeds 162 jaar oud en dit is ook die grootste bank in Afrika met 3,4 triljoen rand se bates onder bestuur. Die markwaarde van die groep beloop 420 miljard rand en dit maak dit die 13de grootste maatskappy wat op die JSE genoteer is. Die groep besit buiten Standard Bank ook verskeie ander bekende handelsname soos Liberty, Stanlib en Stanbic. Die groep het vandag winssyfers vir die eerste helfte van die jaar aangekondig. Die wesensverdienste het met 8% tot 24 miljard rand gestyg, terwyl die direksie die tussentydse dividend met 10% tot R8.17 per aandeel opgestoot het. Sim Chabalala is die uitvoerende hoof. Sim, thank you so much for your time today. The big news of the announcement wasn't really the 24 billion rand in profit Standard Bank earned in only 6 months, but you intend to retire at the end of 2027. Arno Daehnke, the CFO, will also retire then. But you are only 57 years old, you're still very young. Why are you even thinking about retiring?
Rick, Arno and I have made, I think, what is a fantastic partnership. And we work very hard and are complementary, and we are the executive directors of the company. Funny enough, we had wished that the conversation be exclusively about the incredible results the company has produced. But it was unavoidable that this question would arise. As part of the succession planning of the group from day dot, the intention was for us to retire at 60. At the time of turning 60, Rick, I would have been in this job for 14 years, and Arno will have been in his job for 11 years. It's a long time. So the time is right.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen by chance that the bank is performing so well. And let's talk about the 24 billion rand in profits. It represents growth of 8% from a very, very high base. But what I found interesting is comments that there is pressure on lending and that the interest income of the bank has not performed as well as the fees and commission side of the revenues the bank received.
Rick, a couple of things are happening there. Yes, firstly, we'll take it. Headline earnings growth of 8%, I think, is fantastic. I'm not prone to hyperbole, but 8% in these current circumstances is fantastic. And you're right, it's a tale of two cities in terms of net interest income. There is the corporate and investment bank and corporate loans, which grew by 12%, whereas retail loans and business banking loans were much more tepid. So, you know, home loans up 1%. Business lending was flat, it didn't grow, it was zero. Vehicle and asset finance up 4%, and personal unsecured lending up 4%. And there are many things to observe here. Right? Interest rates were on the way down, so you have the endowment effect, which is effectively, as interest rates decline, they squeeze against savings accounts, your capital, and it has a negative impact on your net interest income. But yes, you identify very correctly that this group did really very well in non-interest revenue, which was up 15%. And that was because of double-digit growth in fees, both in the retail bank and in the wholesale bank. And then trading, you know, where we help people protect themselves against interest rates, foreign exchange, equities, commodities. And that did really well. It did particularly well outside South Africa.
You've went through the list of the loan products the bank has, home loans, car loans, and unsecured credit, and which show depressed growth. But is that a function of increased or more stringent lending criteria or just lower consumer demand and business demand?
As you always do, Rick, you ask exceptionally pertinent questions. There's a number of things happening at the same time. Firstly, at a high level, there was subdued growth in the second half of last year in all those categories. So home loans, there was no growth in our book. Business lending, in fact, there was a decline of 2%. The vehicles business increased by about 3%. And then the unsecured lending business up by 1%. However, in the first half of this year, so from December to now, a slight increase in home loans, business lending up 2%, vehicle and assets up 1%, personal unsecured up 3%. So you saw an acceleration in our book. It's also evident in private sector credit extension for households, but the industry has been growing slightly faster than we have been, in large measure because our biggest book is the home loans book. And we are the largest home loans business in the country. And that business has seen huge competition. Our competitors are coming at us, and we've seen pressure there. In vehicle and asset finance, the pressure is evident because we've been slowing down that business. We've really been focusing on our own clients rather than growing it faster than we had done previously. And that's in large measure because we just accept that we are not champions in this. We do very well with our own clients, but trying to take the likes of WesBank and Nedbank in the space head on is a really tough ask. And then unsecured lending, we're growing that business. The health of the consumer, it's a tale of two cities as well. At the bottom end of the market, clients are really struggling. Unemployment rate being where it is really very difficult for people. Job losses starting to manifest. And high interest rates. If you recall, since COVID, there's been a huge increase in interest rates. An abatement with the latest cut in July, improving. Inflation starting to abate, but clients still finding it difficult to make their payments. Can I just make the point, though, that interestingly, you will have seen that our bad debt situation is improving. So early delinquencies, in other words, people either part paying or failing to pay within 1 and 90 days, that trend is on the way down. And then our non-performing loans, the rate of their growth is slowing down. That bespeaks an improvement in the health of the consumer.
On the corporate and investment side, I know there's a big drive from government to increase infrastructure investments. There are also a lot of economists stating that that is one of the key elements of an accelerated future economic growth. Standard Bank's a big player in that market. I know Standard Bank finances many of the big renewable energy projects, and we've gone through a really boom period in that industry. Are you seeing that industry, especially renewables, decelerating?
Maybe let me give you a high-level answer. Our loans, as I said, corporate loans grew by 12%, and that was off the back of activity in electricity, in logistics, in the telco sector, and as I said, infrastructure generally. And that trend continued from the first half of the year, like I was saying earlier on, into this half. The half from June to December last year grew by 5%, and from December to now grew by 7%. So there's actually an acceleration rather than a deceleration.
But it's still, I think, quite low compared to a few years ago. Just lastly, I need to ask you about the political and economic environment in South Africa. We are in a pretty precarious position with the 30% Trump tariffs that have come into effect. And we are seeing a clumsy government trying to mitigate this and to actually get a trade agreement signed. What are your perceptions and thoughts about what is happening currently? And how do you think the country could be affected by a poor outcome regarding the tariffs?
Clearly, the increase in average tariffs globally is not good, because it's going to have an impact on, firstly, global activity and global inflation. The volatility in equity markets that arises from those uncertainties clearly will have an impact on performance. As far as trade goes, the fact of the matter is that China takes about 11.6% of our exports, Germany 8%, the United States 7%. The largest imports or sources from which we import is China, again, 22%, Germany, 8%, and the US, 7.6%. The American authorities argue that the deficit in our trade, and the deficit arises because the minerals generally are excluded from that calculation, and as are services, which is why you will have a deficit, whereas the numbers I quoted earlier on do not suggest there's a deficit. That being the case, the authorities in the US are very clear about what they require. And from what we read and what we hear, they are absolutely determined to extract bargains for themselves in this negotiation process. Some have argued that the tariffs don't make a lot of sense because they are 6 times as high as the weighted average tariff that South Africa imposes on US goods. So that is just a technical thing, but it does not provide an argument, persuasive arguments to the US authorities against the imposition of these tariffs. The biggest impact is obviously going to be in the manufacturing sector of the country. We face a real risk of an increased and larger rust belt in South Africa unless South Africa responds either with getting a deal with the US or with finding other destinations for South African exports. And so there are three buckets, I suppose, of things that the South African authorities have to get right in the process. One is it's the trade tariffs. Two, it's the international relations. And then three, it's the issues that the American authorities have raised that are internal to South Africa, including without limitation, BEE, expropriation without compensation, and so forth. And so, yeah, the South African authorities face an uphill battle to calibrate those three factors. And we read with interest that there are teams talking to their counterparts on trade. The same is happening on international relations. And hopefully we find some outcome that does not destroy, as I said, the country's manufacturing base.
Just lastly and quickly, has Standard Bank lobbied in the US? Because you are the biggest bank and financial institution on the continent.
We spend a great deal of time talking to our clients, both South African clients and American clients. We work with them through organized business, including chambers of commerce. We talk to South African authorities, and we also talk to American authorities in the context of our role as an important player in the economy.
Sam, bye-bye, dankie vir jou tyd. Dit was Sam Chabalala, die uitvoerende hoof van Standard Bank. Laat Portfolium se kundige finansiële adviseurs jou bystaan om 'n beter uitkoms vir aftrede te verseker. Besoek hulle nou by portfolium.co.za.
Hier volg môre se weervoorspelling soos uitgereik deur die weerdiens. Rowwe seetoestande en stormsterkte wind word verwag wat seevaart kan bemoeilik. Sommige storms sien jy kom, ander soos aftrede lê verder op die horison. Maar met Portfolium beplan jy lank voor die gety draai en die wolke saampak. Ons werk saam met van die grootste pensioenfonde in die land om koste-effektiewe produkte te ontwikkel wat jou inkomste met tot 7 jaar gedurende aftrede kan verleng. Moenie sonder 'n roetekaart of die regte bemanning die see van aftrede binnevaar nie. Kies Portfolium vir 'n beter uitkoms gedurende jou aftrede, reën of sonskyn.
Jy het geluister na RSG Geldsaake met Moneyweb Potgoede elke weeksdag om 7 na middag. Vir meer Moneyweb Potgoede, besoek moneyweb.co.za of laai die toepassing af en volg Moneyweb News om dagliks op hoogte te bly.